Deutsche Welle, Africa Link.
A very good morning to you and welcome to Africa Link. This is Mark Caldwell in Bonn, Germany. Coming up, Joyce Mujuru, Vice President of Zimbabwe, is barred from standing for a seat on ZANU-PF's Central Committee. We have this analysis of the machinations behind the scenes.
The whole thing has got Mugabe's fingerprints all over it. He unleashed his wife to do the attack. She was the stalking horse. And when Joyce has been weakened, he then comes in and, you know, throws the fatal blow.
And Nigeria devalues its currency by 8%.
The devaluation of the Naira again is a problem for this country. This is a country, again, that is over-dependent on export, imported goods. It means that the price of these imported goods will go up, and again, it will affect everybody adversely.
Stay tuned to this edition of Africa Link.
Top story.
We begin in southern Africa. Joyce Mujuru, Vice President of Zimbabwe and a Vice President of ZANU-PF, has been barred from contesting a seat on the Central Committee. So how did it come about that President Robert Mugabe's deputy was sidelined just days before the start of a ZANU-PF Congress? I put that question to our correspondent in Harare, Columbus Mavhunga.
I would say over the past few weeks, there's been a serious media onslaught on her and her allies, among other things, being accused of trying to assassinate President Robert Mugabe. So as a result, some senior party officials have said she must not be allowed to remain as part of ZANU-PF leadership.
Do we know how she is taking the news?
So far, she has been quiet. The Politburo, which is the highest decision-making body of ZANU-PF, met, but she was not there. I think for the past few weeks, she has been quiet, other than a statement that she issued a week ago, saying she has nothing to do with the claims that she has been trying to assassinate the president.
Was she expecting something like this?
For those who claim to know her better than me, they say she's one person who has been loyal to Mugabe. She says her power actually is hinged on Mugabe, and she's allegiant to Mugabe. So she thinks if she were to become the next president of Zimbabwe, she would say it's because of Mugabe. So they say it's nothing other than just an onslaught by those who would want to take over as the next president.
And how have ordinary Zimbabweans been reacting to this?
Many Zimbabweans have been taken by surprise because the onslaught is mainly coming from the First Lady, who has been saying all nasty things about Joyce Mujuru, calling the Vice President as incompetent, someone who dresses indecently, someone who is not hardworking, someone who is lazy. I mean, all sorts of names that you can think of. The First Lady has been pouring them on the Vice President, and Zimbabweans can't really believe what is happening, especially that the Vice President has not said anything to the contrary.
So is Joyce Mujuru a popular figure in Zimbabwe? Does she command respect?
She's one person who left the country at the age of 16 and joined the war as one of the youngest women. And when she came back, she became a minister, the youngest minister then in 1980. And so many women and even other men hold her in respect. But that does not mean that she will be a clear runner to become the next ZANU-PF president, as the situation is now.
Columbus Mavhunga, and this move against Mujuru is highly significant because she's been viewed as a possible contender to replace Robert Mugabe one day. So how big a setback is this for her? I put that question to Wilf Mbanga, editor of the newspaper The Zimbabwean.
Well, it's a major setback for Joyce and her faction. And in fact, 10 ministers in Mugabe's government have been barred from contesting the Central Committee elections next week. And 100 other provincial officials have also been barred. I mean, for me, there's blood on the carpet in ZANU-PF at the moment. The Joyce Mujuru camp has been decimated.
President Mugabe could intervene. Under the ZANU-PF constitution, he can appoint 10 people to the Central Committee on his own. Is he likely to do this in the case of Joyce Mujuru?
We don't know, but Mugabe has always been a master schemer. If you look at what happened in 2005-2008, when Emmerson Mnangagwa was the leading candidate to become vice president, he was demoted, people in his faction were sacked from the party, and he sort of lingered in limbo for a few years. And now he appears to be on the ascendance. And Joyce Mujuru, who had virtually got the nomination from all the provinces, has lost it at the last moment. But she's now been barred from contesting. 10 of her ministers have been barred. 9 of the 10 chairmen of the various provinces have been sacked. So this has been a major blow for Joyce.
She's been accused of plotting to oust President Mugabe, of even plotting to assassinate him. What do you make of these allegations?
When Mugabe wants to destroy anybody, that's what he accuses them of, plotting to assassinate him. It happened in 1980 with Bishop Abel Muzorewa, the former Prime Minister of Zimbabwe, Rhodesia. He was tried for treason. It happened with Ndabaningi Sithole, who was also tried for treason, for trying to assassinate Mugabe. Don't forget, Morgan Tsvangirai himself was also set up and also accused of plotting to assassinate Mugabe. You know, this happens whenever Mugabe is about to destroy a person. First of all, all the newspapers in the government stable accuse that person of plotting to assassinate the president.
Do you detect the hand of Grace Mugabe in all this?
No, the whole thing has got Mugabe's fingerprints all over it. He unleashed his wife to do the attack. She was the stalking horse. And when Joyce has been weakened, he then comes in and, you know, throws the fatal blow.
Wilf Mbanga, editor of the newspaper, The Zimbabwean.
Get the stories that are shaping the continent here on Africa Link.
Nigeria is not only grappling with an Islamist insurgency, it's also facing fiscal problems. This is because the fall in the price of oil is causing revenues to drop, and oil accounts for more than 90% of Nigeria's export earnings. Austerity measures are being introduced, the latest of which is the devaluation of the national currency, the Naira, by 8%. From Lagos, Sam Olukoya reports.
The government plans a budget cut and high taxes on some goods as part of austerity measures to cope with lower income from oil exports. Central Bank Governor Godwin Emefiele on Tuesday says the devaluation is yet another measure in this austerity drive. He said all members of the bank's monetary policy committee had voted in favor of devaluation.
Committee noted with concern the continued decline in the contribution of the oil sector to growth. All the 11 members voted to move the midpoint of the official window of the foreign exchange market from 155 naira to the dollar to 168 naira to the dollar.
The Nigerian currency has been devalued several times in the past, and this has led to inflation. Economist Adebayo Gbenro says the price of goods will certainly go up again with this latest devaluation.
The devaluation of the Naira again is a problem for this country. This is a country again that is over-dependent on imported goods. It means that the price of these imported goods will go up, and again it will affect everybody adversely. We're talking of high poverty. This is another problem again that will add to the poverty in town. Again, you have inflationary trend again that will lead to a lot of problems for everybody in society. This is not in our interest.
With Nigeria's high level of poverty, many Nigerians like Tokpe Samuel, a petrol attendant, said it will be very difficult to cope when prices of goods go up.
But things is even hard when the price is not even much. So things are still hard. So for the price to go up again is, so I don't think it will be palatable when prices go high again. No, it's not good.
The government says Nigerians should brace up for hard times because the country's fate is tied to the price of oil. Many Nigerians accuse successive governments of relying too much on oil and of failing to push ahead with diversification of the economy, which will have helped to cushion it against oil price fluctuations.
Sam Olukoya in Lagos. It's estimated that the Angolan Civil War, which stretched over three decades before ending in 2002, claimed the lives of 500,000 people and displaced double that number, a million. Most of those refugees fled to neighbouring countries such as the Democratic Republic of Congo. More than 10 years after the end of the fighting, thousands of them have still yet to return to Angola because they have been denied entry to the country. Authorities in the DRC and Angola have now agreed to resolve the issue, as Patrice Chetera reports from Kinshasa.
Delegates of the two countries met to evaluate the outcome of repatriation and integration process of the final group of Angolan refugees still living in the Democratic Republic of Congo. According to Dr. Berthe Zinga, head of the National Commission for Refugees in the DRC, who read the final communique, over 30,600 refugees still live in the DRC. 12,000 of them have asked to be resettled in DRC, while the rest will return to Angola soon. Dr. Nzinga said the repatriation had been delayed because of technical constraints.
We faced several issues during the last repatriation operations. They include the challenges relating to administration, human resources, logistics, and climate change that have seriously impaired use of roads and railways.
The repatriation of Angolan refugees started shortly after the war ended in 2002. Hostilities ceased with the death of Jonas Savimbi, the leader of the former rebel group UNITA, which was fighting the MPLA, now the ruling party in Luanda. Several Angolan refugees, some of whom who have been living in the DR Congo for 40 years, often find themselves denied permission to return home because of alleged doubt about their status. But Andre Kula, an Angolan immigration official at the Kinshasa meeting, says the move to block them was in the interest of some of them.
There is a very, very big will of the Angolan government to receive all its citizens. What has been happening is that some of the returnees do not fulfill all the requirements to cross the border.
The UNHCR has been helping those denied repatriation to conform with the requirements, and it is no longer possible for them to be turned back, says Celine Schmidt, UNHCR spokesperson in the DR Congo.
So some of the former Angolan refugees who could not cross the border to go to Angola came back with us, with UNHCR, to our transit center in Kimpese, where we, together with Angola and Congo, checked on an individual basis what was the problem, why could they not cross, what is the document missing, if there is a document missing. And then we're processing each case on an individual basis to see what was the problem and to help them to have all the documentation and everything ready in order to cross.
All parties have agreed to resume the repatriation process.
Patrice Chetera reporting from Kinshasa. And now a second chance to hear Monday's edition of The Crossroads Generation.
Deutsche Welle, learning by ear. Listen up, shape your future.
Hi there. Good to have you back for another episode of Crossroads Generation.
We're standing at the crossroads. We're looking for our way. Crossroads Generation. Our future starts today.
Let's look back at what's happened so far in our radio series. The twin brothers Kadu and Banda seem to be doing well at school, and Kadu has become friends with a girl called Summer.
So yellow's your favorite color, Summer?
It kind of is. In my family, we all dress like this. It's because of our religion.
Well, I like your dress.
Thank you, Kadu.
Kadu's big sister is 18-year-old Mercy Msoto. She's studying journalism, but she's also looking after her 3-year-old daughter, Linda. Mercy's mother used to help her, but they had a big fight and Mercy took her daughter to live with her on campus. Her boyfriend Nikki wasn't exactly thrilled. Last time, we heard Mercy talking about it to her friend Trudy.
It's just that Nicky hasn't been taking my calls since I told him Linda's come to live with me. I think it reminds him too much of the fact that I had someone else's baby. By the way, did you ever hear from Dan again? No, nothing. And I don't want to either after he went back to Laboria as soon as Linda was born.
But Dan is no longer in the neighboring country, Laboria. He recently returned to Kisimba and has found work on a building site. Mercy doesn't know this yet, though. Right now, she's in a taxi with Trudy and their new friend, Tina. The two girls promised Mercy they'd help her catch up on her studies. But they have something else in mind. Let's start this sixth episode called A Little Fun Won't Hurt.
Trudy, Tina, where are you taking me? Why did we need to get a taxi?
Wait, Mercy, you'll see.
Okay, here we are. Thanks, Tim.
No problem, Tina. I'll pick you up later.
Okay.
Hold on, Tim.
Mercy, give me those books. Trudy, let's leave them in the car. Trudy, what are you doing? I thought you were going to study.
Oh, my God, Trudy. She's so innocent.
I don't understand.
We were never going to study, Mercy. Uh-huh. We just wanted to take you out to cheer you up. You're always studying, taking care of Linda.
What? You lied to me.
Come on, Mercy, relax. A little fun won't hurt you.
Now that you're here, you might as well enjoy it, eh?
Well, come on, let's go in. You'll thank us for it later, Mercy.
Yeah! It's so loud. Hey, Mercy, relax. I love it here.
I know what will make her relax, Trudy. Sam, two tots of the usual for my friends Mercy and Trudy here. Girls, I'll be right back.
Hey, James, wait for me.
Where's she going? She'll get lost in this crowd. Tina knows her way around here.
So, this is where she goes in the evenings and at weekends?
Uh-huh. Whenever she's free, I think she comes here to look for rich men.
What?
Ah, here are drinks. Cheers, Mercy.
Come on, Mercy, drink up.
Is it alcohol? You know I don't drink.
Alcohol? This isn't just alcohol. This is tequila, baby. You'll love it, I promise. Come on.
Phew. It tastes like donkey piss. Why on earth do people drink it?
Yeah.
You're supposed to suck on the lemon.
That's better.
Come on, let's dance.
Wait, where's Tina?
Don't worry, she'll find us. Just relax for a bit, will you?
Okay, but just for 1 hour. Then I have to be back for Linda.
Hey, Mercy, wake up, sleepyhead. Mercy? Mercy?
Leave me alone.
Wake up! You don't want to miss today's lectures.
Trudy? Where am I?
In my room.
What? Ah, my head. Oh, I don't feel well.
Use the bucket by the bed like you did in the night.
You? Oh. What happened? Why aren't I in my own room?
You don't remember? Well, we had a few drinks, and then we took the taxi back. You couldn't find your keys, and I let you sleep here.
What? Oh, God. Linda, my baby.
Your daughter is fine. I called your babysitter, and she said Linda slept like an angel. She's still asleep.
I really have to go. What have I done?
Mercy, I told you. She is fine.
But I'm her mother. I should...
Exactly. Her mother, not her smother. You're smothering her. Give her some space to grow up.
Don't tell me what to do. Last time I listened to you, I ended up here, leaving my daughter with my neighbor all night.
Oh, come on. Don't tell me you didn't have fun.
Well...
Go on, admit it.
Well, okay. It was fun, but...
But nothing. We are at university now, and a university girl has to have some fun.
What happened to Tina, by the way? We didn't see her again, did we?
Oh, don't worry about Tina. She can take care of herself.
I really have to go and check on Linda. I'll see you later, Trudy.
Kadu has a girlfriend.
Shut up, Banda.
Kadu has a girlfriend. Kadu has a girlfriend.
Shut up or I'll hit you.
Kadu has a girlfriend. Kadu has a girlfriend.
She is not my girlfriend.
Ouch. Why are you hitting me? It's true. You wanted to let her play football with us. Girls can't play football.
Sama can. Her brothers taught her.
Admit it. You like her.
Maybe. But that doesn't mean she's my girlfriend.
Ha! See? Got you.
Just you wait until I catch you.
Hey! You boys! Watch where you're going.
Sorry, mister. Panda, see what you've done.
It was you who was chasing me, Kadu.
Kadu and Banda? I've heard those names before. Are you Masi Msoto's brothers?
Yes. We're sorry, sir.
Ah, I am Dan, Masi's friend.
We don't know anybody called Dan.
I am Linda's father. Huh? I just want to know where I can find Masi.
Don't tell him, Kadu. Masi said that if anyone asked about her and Linda, we should call her at the university first.
But I told you I am... Oh, the university.
What?
Never mind. It's okay. You go on. Sorry I bothered you.
Kadu has a girlfriend. Kadu has a girlfriend.
No, I'm serious. I'm going to catch you.
Kadu has a girlfriend.
Wow, that lecture was incredibly long. Don't you think, Tina?
Yeah, it was. Mm-hmm.
Marcy, are you still mad at us for taking you out?
No, I'm just tired.
Okay, I'll see you both tomorrow. I have things to do.
What things? You've just finished class.
Nanya.
Nanya?
Yes.
What on earth does that mean, Trudy?
None of your business, silly. Right, I have to go. Uh-oh. Marcy.
What?
Over there.
Oh, my God. Is that Dan? He looks so thin.
Who's Dan?
Marcy's ex-boyfriend, Linda's father.
Oops.
Hi, girls.
Hi.
Hi.
Marcy.
Dan? What are you doing here?
Can I talk to you?
Tina and I have an appointment, don't we, Tina?
Do we?
Yes. Don't you remember? Let's go. Bye, Marcy. We want to know everything. You hear? Every detail. Bye, Dan.
Bye.
Bye, Dan. Bye, Marcy. So, Dan, what are you doing back here after 3 years of silence?
And on that surprised note, we end the sixth episode in this third season of Crossroads Generation. Don't miss the next installment to hear what Dan has to say to Marcy. If you want to listen to this or any other episode again, just go to our webpage at dw.de/LBE. See you next time.
And you can hear the next edition of the Crossroads Generation this coming Monday here on Africa Link. Before we leave you, a reminder of our main stories. Joyce Mujuru, Vice President of Zimbabwe, has been barred from contesting a seat on ZANU-PF's Central Committee. Nigeria has devalued the Naira by 8%. And we've also been hearing about the plight of Angolan refugees who want to leave the Democratic Republic of Congo and return home 12 years after the end of the Angolan Civil War. Africa Link returns at the same time tomorrow. Do join us if you can. This is Mark Caldwell in Bonn.